Welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 47, almost at the big 50. How are we doing today, Kanga?
Doing good. I just realized something over this past week. You've been saying Ollie's name wrong this entire time. Yeah, you said Ole, right? But I think it's most people pronounce it as Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer. Oh, forget that last part because I mess up his last name every time.
I mean, I've definitely heard both.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's close. I think Ollie makes more sense than Ole, but hey, exactly. You might be saying it right, but I think you might be saying it right.
I guess we'll find out. I'll go ask him and I'll let you know what he says.
Yeah, sure. You guys are tight.
We're going to talk about Ole today. We're going to talk about Conte as well. And we're going to talk about some Ballon d'Or stuff because some interesting news dropped. A lot of leaks. But, I mean, let's get right into it, right? So we had news. Nuno sacked. I know you were shocked. I wasn't shocked.
Literally the day before we recorded, I said he wasn't going to get sacked. The next day.
I know. We're going to have a conversation about this because, Matt has been in charge for,
17 games, I think it was.
Yeah. Honestly, I forgot it was so short. That's really kind of concerning to me. But I think it was just kind of Spurs. They saw the opportunity to get, a huge name manager in Conte, and they were just like, fuck it, let's do it.
Do you think they even believed in the first place? Because I feel like they gave him such a short timeline.
Was he like the best available when they appointed him or what?
I think he was their last option. There was a lot of managers that were mentioned before him, and then everybody kind of refused. Even Conte was mentioned before, but I think there was an issue with how much money they were going to give him, which is why he didn't really accept in the first place. And then I think there was also this Portuguese guy, Fonseca. I think he used to coach Roma, who refused as well. And the list came down to Nuno as the last name, and then he accepted. Because I would say it was a big challenge in Wolves at the time. So it made sense for him to upgrade.
I mean, I will say I wasn't a huge fan of the Nuno signing when they first made him, because it kind of did seem like they were like, all right, well, we have no other choice now. Let's just do this. And I kind of felt like he wouldn't fit Spurs really well. But that may have just been my personal opinion that was wrong. He didn't get sacked because he didn't really have time, right? Like it wasn't 17 games is not much, but I mean, when you're playing for Spurs and Daniel Levy, he's very particular. He's a really tough owner to have, right? Because
he's one of the worst ones. Remember what he did to Mourinho? The man sacked him before a final.
Yeah, exactly. So he's had some rough. It's always kind of like his way or the highway, and he just kind of always assumes all the decisions he makes are going to be right. Because he made them, the decision is right. Which is really not a great perspective to have as an owner. And also, he's had the reputation for, not really backing the managers and whatnot in terms of signings or money and whatnot.
Yeah, but that's kind of why this Conte signing makes even more, it's even more, interesting, because, like I mentioned earlier, Conte was rumored to be interested, in the summer. And the reason why he wasn't, interested, well, the reason why that didn't really, break through is because apparently, Conte wanted a lot of money for signings, to make a lot of different signings, obviously. And Levy wasn't about that. He wasn't really, sure that they were able to accept his demand. So they didn't really accept. So now that Conte is here, obviously things have changed. That means that...
Well, do we think things have changed? Because if history says anything, it says that Daniel Levy is not going to change his mind about that particular opinion of, giving money to his manager like that. But I did see after Conte was appointed, apparently there was a report, I don't know how accurate, but they said that Spurs are gonna have $150 million to spend to reinforce the squad. I don't know if that's just in January or over the next two transfer windows, but I'd probably assume it's over the next two transfer windows. Like, nobody's spending 150 mil in January. But yeah, so that would be showing that Daniel Levy is a little bit kind of compromising in his ways. But I just don't know how accurate that is, because we've never seen him do it before.
Well, if he had the money to give to Conte, why didn't you give the money to Nuno in the first place?
Well, because he probably trusts Conte over Nuno. He probably didn't even want Nuno and just had no choice. That's what this tells me.
Yeah, because Nuno wasn't even like, you never really had the trust in Nuno. You didn't really like, you just had him here for like not a long-term option, but just as long as you could find someone to replace him, which is kind of foolish in a sense, because it's like, why even brought him in the first place? Like, I know you have to have someone as your manager, but I feel like that's like double crossing a bit. That's kind of a shady business in a sense too, because I feel like Nuno must feel like he's got played.
He did get played. I will also say though, like, there's a lot of like kind of shady shit happening here that makes me kind of not a huge fan of the move on both sides. Like, we've known Antonio Conte to be of the opinion that he does not like taking over teams in the middle of the season. That's not his way. He said, I mean, we've seen Fabrizio Romano report this, saying that, like, he really wanted the United job. He, like, really wanted it bad. And he was, like, pushing for it a little bit, but he didn't want to be disrespectful to Ole and whatnot. And this was, like, last week, 2 weeks ago, when United was, like, at its worst. We're still bad. We're still at a terrible point. But we were, after the Liverpool beat, like, Ole was almost sacked. And Conte said, like, he's very interested. And he doesn't like taking jobs in the middle of the season, but he would do it if it was United because of the statue of United and everything. But the fact that he's taking this Spurs job on an 18-month contract with, like, the shady shit that's happened with Daniel Levy in the past and the broken-down negotiations in the summer and all that, it kind of just kind of, like, leaves, like, a bad taste in my mouth, meaning, like, I kind of feel like something's just off here. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I kind of feel like this is going to end in a really bad way, like Mourinho 2.0 again.
I mean, I don't think it will. It probably will, just because we know the history of Conte. Whenever we know he'll win something. You know he'll get you a trophy or something.
Will he, though?
I mean, just look at his track record. He's won at Juve. He's won at Chelsea. He's won at Inter. He didn't...
I know, this is arguably his biggest challenge. Because one of the obstacles is your own owner.
I mean, at Chelsea, the obstacle was also the owner, but that still worked out.
I know, but he had way more leeway and a better squad at Chelsea than he did than he has here.
Fair enough. And also, like, Abramovich did let him spend money on stuff, on players, quality players that he brought in. So, and then it ended up working out. But, like, I do feel like you're right on the fact that this might be his biggest challenge, just because we know how complicated of an owner or like a manager or the director like Daniel Levy is. There's gonna be fireworks for sure. And I think one thing with Conte is that there will be fireworks, and it's never like a long-term option with him. So I don't expect him to be here for 3 years. I'd say maybe two.
He has an 18-month contract.
Yeah, so that's like a year and 6 months. So what, next some?
Yeah, until the end of next season, basically.
Yeah, I don't know how. I think I do believe that they can get a trophy with Conte, though, just because
they're not getting the league. They're not getting the Champions League.
Yeah, but they can get like a conference league or something. Like they're still in that competition. I mean, there's not that many like serious teams in that competition other than them and like Roma and stuff. But
I mean, could they get the Europa this league this year?
They can't. They're not in the Europa.
I'm an idiot. Yeah. Damn, that's kind of sad. Shit.
But yeah. No, I agree with you on that part. You're an idiot.
Yeah. I knew that.
But going back, I do like. I mean, going back to the topic, I do feel like they can get a trophy with Conte, at least one. And that'll be a good breakthrough for him, because obviously he's won everywhere he went. Really, he's got trophies from everywhere he went, except for he didn't win. He coached Italy like the national team, but he didn't win there. But still, it's a good manager to have, because you know he's gonna it's gonna be tough on the team for sure. Like, cause he has rigorous training and stuff. But as a club, you can expect.
But that's at least the one thing, trophy. Like with Conte, we know. Sorry, I interrupted you. But with Conte, we know he's such a strict kind of like my way or the highway as well kind of guy. Like he has no problem putting a player in the doghouse if like he doesn't like the way his attitude is or playing. Like Mourinho's kind of the same way. That's an easy way to get the team to not like you, but kind of like have their respect if you're winning. But if you're not winning, this is when this type of managers get like really, really under pressure and losing dressing room and everything goes to shit.
Did you notice how similar Mourinho's path and Conte's path are? Like they both coach Chelsea, both coach Inter.
They are very similar. Yeah. And they're very similar in their styles as well of coaching. That's why I'm telling you, I'm just kind of nervous that with how this whole thing played out, it kind of also felt like, it kind of felt how, not how United got like kind of forced to keep Ole after the interim stuff because we were doing so well. Like that was United's first mistake back in the day, like 3 years ago. Yeah, Ole came in and after life after Mourinho was so nice because it was just such a different like atmosphere and people were happy again because like, it kind of felt like we had this like gloomy, dark, like Reaper taken away from our club that like made the sunshine come back kind of thing. And we kind of let that take over us and think that Ole was like the man for the job, obviously. At the time, intellectuals like us, we knew Pochettino was the man for the job. But
intellectuals like us, I like that.
Yeah, you like that, right? Yeah, and then now we're seeing 3 years later that everything is coming full circle and, like, we're realizing the mistakes. Hopefully the board is realizing the mistakes they've made. I think we'd be at a much better spot if we had Pochettino back in the day. But we'll never know.
Past. Can't go back in the past now.
But we'll never know. But that's what I'm saying. I feel like Spurs are kind of in the same boat where they kind of just, like, saw one of the top managers available. They're really not in good form right now. And they just felt like it kind of felt like they were just like pressured into the move. Like Conte didn't even want to go there. And then now he's there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that tells me there's going to be, he has guarantees that like motivate him to go there. That's the only reason why he will go there. Like if he has guarantees.
I hope he has guarantees. But Conte has no problem being like, all right, I'm out. Like you figure out your shit, you know? Like exactly. He would do that to them. So that's why I'm like, this is just, I feel like something's going to be sour. But I want to transition to like the next topic. Like, do you kind of feel like this was a blessing in disguise for United? Because I kind of feel like it was. I saw some people talk about that.
Him not signing for United.
Yeah, because the fact that Conte signs for Spurs, because listen, Ole on the hot seat, he's probably still on the hot seat.
I mean, they lost today.
We lost. We're recording this on Saturday, November 6th. We just lost the derby to Man City this morning. I was not disappointed. Not disappointed. I'm not surprised, is what I meant to say.
You were disappointed. You're very disappointed, but you're not surprised.
Yeah, exactly. With the way we played and everything, and like
City was having a training session out there, man.
I mean, with how we've been in form recently, I'm surprised it was only 2-0 and one of the goals was an own goal in the beginning of the game and the second goal was a lucky, I don't know, it wasn't lucky because Bernardo Silva worked for that, but like I don't know what Maguire and Shaw were doing there. They kind of just like assumed that the ball was just going to go out and nobody was trying to go for it, and then Bernardo Silva just like gets there, bounces it off De Gea, who should have done better, but also like you got to expect better from your center back and your fullback to get there. But
I'm kind of sad for Bailly. He had such a good game against Atalanta in the
league. I mean, the goal was unlucky, right? Like, not much you can do. It wasn't really his fault. He's had a good game. Like, if you give Bailly games, he's going to get better, obviously. He needs to be a man in rhythm. You can't bring him in one game every season and expect him to have a top class performance. Same thing with Van de Beek. Like, Ole's being like, all right, get off my ass. I'm playing Van de Beek now. Are you guys happy? Look, we still lost. Like, that's not how this goes, Ole. Like, you got to give the boy a chance instead of bringing him on halfway through the game, losing to City already, you know? Like
a game where City wasn't even trying to score that third goal. Like, they literally weren't even like going for it.
I mean, they were trying, but they were not. They kind of knew they already wanted. They didn't need to go that hard for some reason. It kind of felt like Pep was playing a little cautious. He's been afraid of United because we've done that in the past. They've been up 2-0. We've come back.
Afraid? I don't think he was afraid.
But maybe, honestly. Pep's one of those managers. Pep's one of those managers that will like make you feel like your opponent is the best club in the world. He's like he like talks up his opponent so much. I don't know if it's like a respect thing or it's kind of just like a, I mean, I'm sure it's a respect thing, but like he'll make like Norwich sound like gods and that he needs like the whole week to prepare to defeat Norwich when he can like not even show up and they'll win, you know?
Well, I mean, I think he still has to show up at least. I mean, yeah. I mean, out of respect,
he should. They could beat Norwich with 10 men on the pitch. I'm just saying. But the Pep's that kind of manager where he was just like, United, so dangerous. And we just got like mollywopped against Liverpool like a week ago. Like, come on. We almost lost against Atalanta on Tuesday.
If it wasn't for Mr. Champions League.
Yeah, Mr. Champions League.
Who didn't really do much today.
I mean, he had a couple chances, but like we were just not getting very creative at all today.
Yeah, as a team, what do you think is the gap between like you and like the you as in United and like the big three?
It's a massive gap. It's the gaping hole. That's what it is. It's the top three right now, and then it's like a big gap until like 4 to 7, and then there's another gap.
I can't remember what the name of the commentator, because he's like one of the biggest ones. He basically said After the first race, he said after the final whistle, same city, different universe.
I mean, he's not wrong, right? Like this is.
That's thought it was accurate. The gap is it's a different level with the Blues versus what you got with United right now. And some of it is tactics, but I do feel like some of it is also like individuals, because I feel like on the city side, like every player is proven in the Premier League. They have the best fullbacks on both sides. They have the best fullback in the world on one side who can play both sides. The defensively, they're stacked. There's no, they aren't even worried. And we know what they can bring offensively, even without a striker. The thing is, we've been asking for cities to get a striker this entire summer. But the way they've been working those every game, it's like it doesn't really feel like they need one. Like they've been winning games convincingly without having a strength or striker to like support. So, yeah, I mean, to me, like, the gap is, there's a massive gap between you, Liverpool, even Chelsea. Like, even though Chelsea maybe are having a rough patch now, they're still winning games, even though it's not like, everybody can score goals with Chelsea. United can't really do that. United can get goals from everybody. You only have really one source of goals. And if he doesn't score, nobody else can.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, like to even consider you guys a contender. The only reason why you were even considered contender in the first place was because you signed Ronaldo. Because other than that,
I mean, we signed Ronaldo and we signed, don't forget, we signed Sancho and we signed Varane. And not having Varane is a big deal. Like, he's out again for another 4 weeks. He was out for a month, he came back, and he's out for another month. I don't know if it's because he was rushed back or whatnot, but I mean, that's our best center back.
I think that is your best center back, and he does look good in the back three, like you guys did against Atalanta. It looked good.
He does look back. He does look good. Like, the best performance we've had in this whole terrible form is when Varane came back for that one game. Like, honestly.
Sancho, so far, Sancho hasn't been it.
I think Sancho is struggling because the system right now is in shambles.
Yeah, the system doesn't help him. The system doesn't help anybody, really, offensively-wise. It doesn't really help him. It doesn't really help Greenwood. And it makes Bruno look really bad as well.
It makes Bruno look a shadow of himself. It makes Ronaldo look like he's not doing anything because he's not getting opportunities. And it makes the wingers look like they're incapable. And it makes Fred and McTominay look like they're the most important people on the pitch when they should be supporting the forwards, not be the center of attention, you know?
But your midfield is your most important part of your pitch, especially in the back three.
For sure. But they're getting exposed like crazy.
Yeah. I mean, today they were. even though I thought they didn't do so bad against Atalanta, especially in the back. I think the back three would help your back, your defense defensively and centrally. It helps, but offensively it doesn't really work because Bruno is, other than if Bruno simply has a 10, he's ineffective. If Sancho can play out wide enough, if he has to tuck in centrally, he's ineffective as well. The same thing for Greenwood. Even though Greenwood could play centrally, he's forced to play out wide because you have to play Ronaldo centrally because he can't do the work out wide. So,
I mean, before we get, like, I definitely want to touch on the tactics and all that because Ole has to figure that out, right? Like, that's what he's getting paid the big bucks for. That's why he's Manchester United manager. But I do want to touch on the initial point that was made that I feel like, would you say that Conte going to Spurs was a blessing in disguise for United? Because I feel like that would have been a recipe for disaster as well. I feel like he would have kind of got one of these players on his bad side or whatnot.
I think it's tough to say. It'll depend on how he does with Spurs. If you see Spurs like performing well from now on and like consistently winning games at a really high rate, then you got to feel like maybe you would have been better with United. But if the Conte doesn't do so well and Spurs continue to struggle, then yeah, maybe it'll be a blessing in disguise.
Because my opinion is Ole isn't fit to be Manchester United's manager. He's just out of his depth. He's been struggling since the beginning of the season to find a scheme that works for this United team. We've brought in world-class players. We made only world-class signings, and it hasn't worked. We've taken a huge step back. And he's obviously not capable of figuring it out because he hasn't figured it out yet. He's tried multiple things, multiple different formations, multiple different kind of tactics, and it's not working out. We're still playing like shit, and you're not getting the best out of your players. So I do feel like Conte, when I say I'm Ole out, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm Conte in, but it does mean that I do think if Conte was in charge, we'd have some sort of progress, but not necessarily long-term progress, and he's not necessarily the guy that I would want in charge. But I do think if ultimately we're riding the season out as it is, I'm glad we're not getting Conte because hopefully there's another manager. If we can get Pochettino at the end of the season or Conte now, give me Pochettino at the end of the season, you know? Which I do think that's a possibility, to be honest. At the end of the season, anything could happen.
I mean, considering how PSG is doing right now and like based on that Champions League game against Leipzig and then seeing how they're doing in the league,
I could realistically see Pochettino coming to United and Zidane going to PSG.
I see one, but I don't see the other. I could see Poch go to United, assuming that PSG sacks him, but I don't see how Zidane, we know where Zidane is going. He only has two options, and really only one.
You think it's Juve or France?
No, it's France first. Devin, everybody else is second.
I don't think he's getting the France job, man. I think Didier is going to keep, like, Zidane's got to have a job before then. He's not going to be out of managerial work for like over 2 years. Like,
it's got to be a good, very good opportunity for him not to take the French job.
I mean, he'd be managing three of the best players in the world.
Fair enough, but at the same time, I think it's France and Zidane obviously being a Marseille, born in Marseille and stuff. It could play a part in him not taking that job specifically. But I don't think he's that deep into that rivalry, so I don't see how that would affect him. I just don't see him at PSG. I don't see him. The only thing that I can see him lead in France is the French national team. And he doesn't have to take anybody else. And he doesn't have to sign anybody anywhere else before that.
He doesn't have to, but I mean, I think it's more real. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying it's more realistic than you saying it's impossible, you know?
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, Ole's tactics recently, like he's been switching between a back four and a back three. Not having Varane is a big deal for sure. But De Gea is world-class right now, and Ronaldo is world-class, and you see it. He gets one or two opportunities a game, and he's making a world-class finish.
Did De Gea look world-class against Atalanta?
De Gea has been, like, one of our most... He's been arguably our most solid player this season.
He's been one of your most consistent players, but he has the mistakes.
For sure, but it's hard to not make mistakes when you're facing so many high dangerous shots.
Yes, but okay, like I'm specifically talking about the Atalanta game. The first goal was shaky. Let's be honest now.
Yeah. Listen, no, it definitely was shaky. It definitely was shaky. But I mean, I don't put that much, like, those goals are gonna happen to any keeper. And if that's the one goal that happens and he saves like 30 others that should have been goals that weren't because of him, then I'm like, that's not an issue for me. Like, I don't think we should talk about that. I think we need to talk about Ole getting the best out of his players, because he's not right now. And I don't know what to do, because, I mean, we've seen tactical breakdowns from everybody analyzing how Ole is using this team, right? And it kind of just seems inept and just a terrible way of going about it, right? Like, we said this before on the pod before, like, it really seems that it's just like there's such a big gap in our midfield because we're playing like so far back and so far up the pitch. And just the middle is just completely empty for the opponent to like have the reins.
I feel like every game that you play with Ole, you are determined, or you're pretty much guaranteed to win the midfield battle, which is what it looks bad on United, from a United perspective, because you'll never like really strive in possession, which is why you kind of want to play counter. But you can't even do that with such a low or inconsistent pressing. The pressing is the one aspect that I feel like you guys. That was one thing that Ole was like put pride on, the pressing from the front.
It's kind of like he's trying to half press, and it's just like you're not going full on press, and you're not like not pressing. So you're just kind of getting this like awkward mix where nothing is going right.
But isn't that the problem with having Ronaldo on your team though? Because we know Ronaldo's not going to be the biggest like pressing striker.
We've seen this where people are saying Ronaldo is the issue because Ronaldo doesn't press and everything else is in shambles because of it. I think that's...
It's like a domino effect. Like Ronaldo doesn't press, or Ronaldo doesn't press as efficiently, and you can't play him out wide.
But we're really... I tweeted this earlier. Like, we're really about to blame Ole getting sacked on United signing Ronaldo and him not pressing. Like, that's really like that people are going to be blaming Ole's sack being like, Ronaldo got him sacked. Like, Ronaldo's not pressing, and look at everything that's happening. Like, it's your job as a manager to get the best out of your players. If you're telling me you can have Ronaldo, you cannot have Ronaldo, I'm taking Ronaldo. Like, look.
Everybody would take Ronaldo. You guarantee yourself goals for Ronaldo.
But you gotta build around it. That's the whole point. You gotta build around him. Like, you build around your best players.
But he's such a he's such a unicorn type of player in the sense that he's so unique. You don't have that many strikers that have Ronaldo's skill set, like overall. Like, there's not that many players that have Ronaldo's skill sets overall. So for him to build around that, I can see the difficulties, but still it should still be able. I mean, he's done it in the past. He looked good with Juve until like
the injuries. And he's had bursts in his step. Like he's made big runs to like to put pressure on the ball. Like, we've seen it. He probably can't do that the whole game, but we've seen it. Like, maybe you play Ronaldo on the wing.
You can't do that.
And why not?
I don't, because you already have Rashford, Sancho, and...
Well, you can play Rashford at the top.
Yeah, but Rashford, then where do you play? You have to...
You're already not playing Sancho. You're already not playing Greenwood all the time. You're already not playing Rashford all the time.
I think realistically, you can't play Rashford, Sancho, Ronaldo, and Greenwood all together.
If you want to play a pressing system, either play like a 4-4-2 with Ronaldo at the top with less duties of pressing, or play a 4-3-3 or whatever you want to play, a 4-5-1 or something, but put Ronaldo on the side where his duty isn't to run around across defenders like a madman, if that's what you want your striker to do. Like, put Rashford there. Man's got the engine on him right now. Like, if that's what you want to do, then you got to do it. Like, Ronaldo's not an idiot. He also wants to win. Like, he'll gladly play on the side or have a different kind of role. But I think Ole's kind of set on trying to build around Ronaldo at the top, but also not do it properly. I don't know.
I still feel like in the two system, maybe he would look better. But, Cavani, he looked good when he played with Cavani. He looked good.
He did look better with Cavani because Cavani can press like that.
Yeah. Cavani is a workhorse. Like, he'll do the work. But at the same time, like, it feels like to me the best partner for Ronaldo has always been Benzema.
Because it was his longest partner. They had so much chemistry, and Ronaldo was also younger when he was playing with Benzema. Yeah, but too.
Look at Benzema. Like, look at how big of a player Benzema has become since Ronaldo left. Like, imagine him. He was such a good player with Ronaldo, but him by himself just tells you how much.
I mean, he gets more of the sunshine because, I mean, the Ronaldo effect, right? Like,
Yeah, it's a Ronaldo. I guess it is a Ronaldo effect. You think, I mean, kind of moving into our last topic, as we're approaching our deadline here, Ballon d'Or, there's been a lot of leaks about Ballon d'Or. Apparently, Messi's already won it.
I have not seen the, like, I didn't see the leaks until you mentioned it. I'm surprised because I feel like that's pretty big news.
Yeah, apparently France Football already told Messi you won.
Does that happen? Like, does the Ballon d'Or winner know before?
Pretty sure usually he does. Maybe I actually don't know. I would assume so because you have to prepare a speech and everything.
I mean, I think they all prepare speeches, and if you win, you say it. If you don't win, you don't say it, right?
Why even show up? I think this might be the first, because like, why even show up if you know you haven't won it? It's weird. The fact that this even came out is odd. And even the fact that, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I think there's better candidates.
I think he's definitely top three. But Messi, since PSG, is not a Ballon d'Or winner. But everything Messi before PSG, I thought he should have got it. Like, his numbers were insane. And he was doing it all by himself at Barca. I thought, if you ended the season before he went to PSG, like, Messi is wrapped up, in my opinion. But everything since then has kind of, like, given other people to make a better case for themselves. Like, the only other people I can see taking it is Benzema or Salah. Like, those are the two big names. I think everybody can agree on that being the top three, right? I know Jorginho's name is getting thrown around. I think that's, like, the worst excuse to have somebody on the Ballon d'Or shortlist being that they were on the teams that won trophies. I think that's, like, terrible. Like, I remember they gave it to Modric a couple of years back because he brought Croatia to the finals and he won the Champions League with Madrid. And I was like, Modric is world class. He's one of the best midfielders in the world, especially a couple of years ago. But he like had performances and impact on his team enough that I could see. Like, he was Mr. Croatia. Like,
his was justified.
Yes. But Jorginho was like, you aren't the most impactful player on Chelsea. You aren't the most impactful player on Italy. And you haven't had, like, performances where you've taken over games or whatnot. Like, you know, like, it's just...
But it's hard for him to take over games in the position that he plays.
For sure. But, like, see, like, I'd give it to N'Golo Kante before I'd give it to Jorginho.
I mean, that's the argument that I heard. Like, the reason nobody really agrees that Jorginho should be on the list. I just feel like
he's not that type of player. Like, he's not even, like, in the top five best players on his team. He's not. Come on.
Lukaku, Kante, Rudiger. Let's say
Pulisic.
Pulisic kind of injured. He's on and off right now. I wouldn't put him in top five right now. Last year, yes, but not this year.
Mendy.
And Reece James. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, you're right.
If you could name five better players on your own team, you're not winning the Ballon d'Or. I mean, come on. This is laughable that this is a conversation.
I'm not trying to make it a conversation, but I mean, he's there, so you might as well make it a conversation.
I know, but you've defended it a little bit off because he won the...
Yeah, I mean, he has merits. I mean, he's not like he's never played. Lucky he played. He was good in the final against England. He was good in the Champions League final. He played well in that game.
His merits are he was on Chelsea when they won the Champions League, and they were all... Yeah, and they could have easily, if they lost the final to England, which easily could have happened, if Southgate didn't try to be a 200 IQ Andy here, then we're not even having this conversation.
Sure, but the fact is he did win it.
Yeah, no, he didn't win it. Italy won it. And I can point to more than five players probably that deserve it, that made that Italy win happen.
Top five for Italy. Chiesa, Verratti, Donnarumma, Bonucci, Spinazzola was good that year, that tournament. Barella could be mentioned as
like,
well.
Like, Jorginho did not have a performance where we were like, wow, like, he's really taking over the game. Like, he's really, like, just making everything happen right now. I know with the, when you're playing the defensive mid position, like, it's hard to have flashy performances, but we notice. Like, we notice when Verratti has a game because we see he has the ball all the time. Like, give it to Verratti over Jorginho. Like, I don't know.
But Jorginho's a passer. He's a passer. He's not a dribbler. He doesn't dribble.
Okay, and how many assists does he have?
But okay, that's the thing.
That's the thing. He doesn't have assists. Like,
but wait, though, there's at least a couple compilations that I found on YouTube of Jorginho's like great passes that are just not finishing.
A couple compilations that I found. It's like three different things, and it's like a 10-minute video.
No. There's actually a video of the thing is like a 15 or 12 minute video of him basically giving his teammates assists and then not finishing. So for him not to get like assists, it's not mostly on him. It's because his teammates can't finish. But he does okay. The numbers don't lie. He doesn't have assists.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm sure you could also do that for a bunch of other players.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not only Jorginho that his teammates are not finishing his passes. Is everybody else also has that? And on top of it, they're also finishing passes. Yes.
Yes. I'm not trying to make it a conversation. I don't know why you make it seem like I'm trying to defend Jorginho here. I'm just saying.
No, his name shouldn't even be on the list.
Sure. I guess so. But he is.
I don't know how this conversation even happened. Who started this Jorginho thing? Like, and it got so out of hand that somebody put him on the Ballon d'Or list.
I don't know how that started. You'd say I'm surprised Lewandowski is not. Lewandowski is in it too, but I don't think he deserves that either.
No, not this year.
Not this year.
I mean, out of Messi, Benzema, Salah, I think you can't give it to Salah because he's only had. I mean, he's been good. You don't win the Ballon d'Or because you're good, but he's been amazing these last 2 months. But that's not enough to win the Ballon d'Or for 2021.
I think overall Benzema would win it to me.
I think overall because of Benzema was like right behind Messi for like most of the year. But then after
he carried Madrid last year.
What?
He carried Madrid last year, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But Messi also carried Barcelona leaps and bounds more, you know? Like
Madrid made it to the semis with a bad team.
I mean, but have you seen Barca's team?
Not with a good team, right? Yeah. I mean, Barca's team was even worse.
And did you see the goals and assists that Messi was putting up and the chances created? Like, that's why. Messi's the GOAT. And, like, he's the best player in the world until he retires. That's my take. He's the best ever to do it. But I
think the recency bias and, like, him not doing so well at PSG does affect the reason why people might question him winning it.
Ever since the move to PSG, it's hasn't put up Ballon d'Or performances because it's hard in that team and like Pochettino's playing him half the game. Like it's kind of weird. And that's why it really took a hit to his stock. Like if Messi went there and if Messi would have had only like above average performances, but like only slightly above average, like it wouldn't even be close. But because PSG has been kind of a failure for his career right now, Benzema.
Well, a rough start. Let's say rough start.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Rough start. The first couple of months at PSG have been tough. Benzema has been nothing but solid. So that's why I'm saying, like, longevity-wise and consistency-wise, Benzema definitely has the edge. But, like, Messi was, like, elite, elite, elite for most of the year. Like, more than the majority of the year. Like, that's why I think he still deserves it. But there's definitely a conversation. Like, I wouldn't be upset if they give it to Benzema.
Yeah. Speaking of PSG, quick side note. You know they might release Ramos? That's what I heard. Yeah. They're saying that he might...
Really? Where'd you hear that?
I don't know where I saw that on Twitter somewhere.
Isn't he injured?
Yeah, that's why. He's like injury, like apparently it's more serious than they thought. They want to release him.
Because they don't want to pay him?
I think it's a rumor. I don't think it's true. I'm just saying like they might actually release him, which is crazy to me. But
that is crazy. I wonder if he'd be pissed or if he'd ask for it. Like
he'd be pissed.
Yeah, probably he'd be pissed. Do you think Pochettino leaves at the end of the year? Do you think it's sacked? If they don't win the Champions League, do you think he gets sacked?
If they win the league, he won't be sacked.
I mean, they're going to win the league.
No, that doesn't mean doesn't look like it right now, but yeah, we'll also have to see. Marseille's doing some not so bad right now. Lyon's up there. Lille is also a consideration, even though they're not doing so well. Shout out Jonathan David. But it's not going to be as easy as people make it seem like it was.
I feel like anytime they want, they can just turn up and win these games. So it's kind of just awkward right now. All right. I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode. That felt like a workout. Honestly, I feel like I talked so much.
You were heated about that Jorginho thing.
I'm more heated about the Jorginho thing than I was about the Ole thing. It's just Jorginho doesn't deserve to be there. But alas, we talked about it. Episode 47 in the books. We remind everybody to follow us on our social medias. If you lasted this long, we really appreciate you. On Instagram, @_pressing. On Twitter, @forwardpresspod. Drop us a follow so you're notified every time the episodes go live. If you rock with us this long, we really appreciate it. For the few of you out there. And we hope to see you next week.
Thanks for rocking with us.
Peace.
And stop.